broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University. This is WSDL Ocean City 90.7 FM, Delmarva's first choice for NPR News.
Despite the nation still being mired in the Great Recession, an uptick in tourism has begun over the last several years in Maryland and the Eastern Shore. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. In its annual 2012 fiscal report, the Maryland Department of Tourism found that visitors spent $14.3 billion in the state. On the Eastern Shore, Worcester County, for example, saw around $23.7 million in sales tax revenue. That's up from $21.8 million in 2011. Much of that revenue comes, of course, from the beach areas, such as Ocean City. So we also want to take a look at how non-coastal areas are doing as well in terms of trying to get some kind of tourism rebound. With us is Lisa Challenger, the Worcester County Tourism Director, also Melanie Purcell. She's the Executive Director of the Ocean City Chamber of Commerce, and hope to be joined shortly by Memo Derricker. He's with the Business Economic and Community Outreach Network on the campus of Salisbury University. Well, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks
good morning.
For having us.
Well, Lisa, I want to turn to you because I wanted to, well, first of all, ask you, what kind of sense do you have in terms of tourism? Because I was looking at the figures, and you see, I mean, obviously you saw this sort of precipitous drop, I think, around 2008, 2009, when the recession really, really hit. But there seems to be this sort of gradual sort of uptick. Is that what you're seeing? It seems to indicate that there's something
It is,
going on
and
here.
It has been. And we've had terrific gains year over year, and Maryland has actually outpaced most of the country in tourism. So we're optimistic that it's going to be another great season, and hopefully with figures exceeding what we did last year.
I should have
my crystal ball, and I would really
and
know
you'd be
that.
Able to tell us exactly how many and right. What do you think that's about? I mean, do you think it is because it's very clear? I mean, unemployment still stuck around; it's still over 7%. I mean, it's still close to 8%, and we're still a lot of people are not feeling a big economic boom. What do you think that's attributable to, particularly for the Eastern Shore and Worcester County?
Well, we're so close to such a large population base, and people are not really willing to give up a vacation and to spend time with family. And the more we read and see the trends, people really want to spend time, quality time with their family. And they talk about all the gadgets and iPads and phones and how families might live together but spend little time together, and they see vacations as a time to do that. And we're just not that far away.
You know, like now, for instance, now Worcester County obviously has, as what I can tell, is like the biggest sales revenue, say, for instance, from tourism here on the Lower Shore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think
sure.
The figure I got was something like $23.7 million, which is up actually slightly a couple of million. You get to Wicomico County, we're talking more like about 5.3, Talbot's 3.9, Queen Anne's County is, I think, about 2.4. What do you attribute, I mean, assuming that really it's the beach areas that are really generating
money. Oh, it's the beach.
Money.
I think Melanie would agree. It's
right,
the beach.
She does, right?
It's Ocean City, and it's Assateague, and we have the only county in the state that has the beach, so the Atlantic Ocean, and it's a huge draw. Yeah, it's the beaches.
Want to turn to her. So in terms of Ocean City, what are you seeing there along the boardwalk, and are business folks optimistic? What kind of numbers are you seeing down there?
We're absolutely optimistic. We're always optimistic, and we have seen an uptick, so that's exciting. The other trend, we're seeing a lot of capital investments that some of our businesses are making, where they're expanding, they're adding to their business, they're adding more amenities. So that's a great sign that they're making those investments in their business. We've seen a lot of new, smaller business popping up around Ocean City. The other thing that we've tried to do over the past few years is really increase the value added to our vacationers' experience. So if they are willing to take that vacation, and like Lisa said, they don't want to give up that vacation, when they come to Ocean City, we want to make sure that they're getting a lot of bang for their buck. So every night of the week, we have some kind of a free family activity. We have a lot of deals and specials that our businesses have really committed to. And then also with our marketing campaign, you know, Ocean City made a really wise decision about 5 years ago, and a portion of the room tax revenue goes to destination marketing. So we have a very robust advertising budget for Ocean City, and it actually benefits all of the county, because when people come to Ocean City, you know, they're looking to explore around the shore, the small towns and Assateague. And so I think it's been a great benefit for our entire county and the state.
Have you been affected, or what kind of effect do you see from gambling? Because you have Ocean Downs, which is right up the way, obviously. And that's just about all you can do, by the way, is gamble. I mean, I think they have a little dine and dash place or something, but that's about
right.
It. You can't like just hang out there. Have you seen an impact in terms of tourists and coming there, maybe then going to Ocean City? What have you seen?
We've seen a lot of our businesses actually partner with Ocean Downs and do some packaging. So that's been really, I think, successful for some of the hotels. So, you know, bus trips, they can come out and make that part of their experience. There is going to be a little bit of expansion with the referendum that passed in the fall. So actually, we're looking forward to meeting with Ocean Downs in the next couple of weeks and finding out what some of their plans are. But we do see it as another amenity, another thing for people to do when they're in town. And so I think, you know, from the county's perspective as well, it's not just the locals that are going there. People are coming to Ocean Downs.
And I think now that it's there, businesses have embraced them, you know, might as well work with them because they are there. And
yeah, because I know there was actually a certain skittishness initially that they oh, well, they withdraw off money. It seems to be a plus then.
They're working together.
Mm-hmm. And do one expect, if indeed, and it's not clear now whether or not table games will actually come to Ocean Downs, because they've got to figure out how to accommodate it, I guess, the spaces. But would you expect then that you probably even see a greater uptick once that happens?
I would think.
Yeah, and that's a different type of clientele. And actually, you know, some of the restaurants, such as Ruth's Chris, you know, so that's like a higher end, which is very close to the casino. You know, I think that they would definitely see a little bit of an uptick because, you know, it's a different type of person that comes in and plays table games than plays the slot machines.
I want to turn to Memo Derica. He's with the Business Economic and Community Outreach Network on the campus of Salisbury University. I wanted to ask you about the significance of tourism in terms of the economic activity on the shore. How does tourism compare to, say, some of the industries, whether it's agriculture or it's you know, the watermen and the bay, that kind of thing? What role do you see it playing?
In terms of total economic impact as well as total employment impact, tourism ranks as the third biggest economic engine we have on the shore. The top is agriculture, closely followed by education, K-12 education, and then number three is tourism. What makes tourism even more interesting to us is these are dollars coming from outside the area, churning in our local area. So it's like you're manufacturing something and exporting somewhere else and getting the money. We're not really exporting anything, we're just exporting fun.
Yeah, one of the things.
I like that.
Sporting fun.
Funny memories.
There you go. That's your next slogan. Well, let me ask you this. We were talking about the fact that in about 2008, 2009, we saw a real sharp drop off of tourism here. But it seems now to be gaining some momentum and coming back. What do you attribute that to? I mean, obviously, I mean, it's still is a semi-jobless recovery. I mean, as we mentioned earlier in the program, we still, while we have unemployment, it's still above 7%, near actually 8% nationwide. So what do you think's going on here?
In the United States, we are a nation that defines life by work rather than everything else. Rest of the developed world, they play a lot more than we do. So in our case, tourism vacation is less a want, more a need. We can't give away those 2 weeks that we have to relax a little bit. And especially here on the shore, we are a great attraction to families. And this gives families an opportunity to get together those 2 weeks of the year. What has changed since the recession, as the very slow recovery is making its progress, is that tourists, visitors have become very value conscious purchasers. And the industry has started adapting to that. Industry has yielded to their needs by providing shorter stay possibilities, by providing less lead time in bookings, and being much more technology savvy in allowing comparison shopping, and knowing what the competition is doing. The industry is quite aware that about for the same price, people can go to the Caribbean. So both the industry and the visitors have changed their purchasing and selling habits to be able to accommodate the lesser income streams, the higher uncertainty, anxiety that's out there. But vacation, for us in the United States, those 2 weeks, it's a need.
Melanie, how has Ocean City tried to adapt to this new economic environment? What do you see businesses doing?
Well, as I'd mentioned earlier, with some of the things that we've been doing with the value add and the free activities, but they do have now, for example, the real estate companies that do vacation rentals, they do the mini week so that you can do a smaller stay. You don't have to come and stay an entire week. And the other thing we've seen is, coinciding some of the children's sporting events and tacking on a vacation. So if they come for a soccer or lacrosse tournament, they can stay and enjoy the air show, for example. So we're trying to really have a lot of other things that are going on in addition to them coming for the actual tournaments itself. I will say that Ocean City has a wide range of price points when it comes to accommodations. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on. I mean, we have, the condominium rentals. We also have, value-based motels up to, four-star hotels, oceanfronts with suites. So there is a wide range for the vacationer. If they want to come down, they can come down with the whole family, extended family. There's just so many different options. The other thing is that Ocean City, when you look at some of the other vacation destinations, we have the free beach. Some of our northern friends, they don't have that. So we try to really point out the value that we have, the items that we have, the free activities. You'll notice that a lot of our restaurants are doing $4.99, $5.99 lunch specials. Mm-hmm. That's a huge draw for people. So they are accommodating the pocketbook of our vacationer, and they're doing that year round. So they're offering a lot of specials and deals.
I want to ask, by the way, it occurred to me, Memo, we had Hurricane Sandy, and it was most dramatically affected the Jersey Shore and New York, a lot of places that would ordinarily see tourism. Do you think that we're going to see perhaps a lot of people come down here because those places are not available up there? I mean, do you think we might actually, ironically, get a bump out of what has occurred last year in terms of the storm and the destruction?
That is inevitable. That will happen. What we don't know at this stage is how significant a bump it's going to be. There will be a bump, whether it's a small, medium, or large bump. Only time will tell, because, like we mentioned earlier on, there are other alternatives, and they're going to weigh all those alternatives. Some of them who don't want to venture farther afield will come here. Some of them will say, hey, this is the chance to go to the Caribbean or whatever. So we're going to watch that. We're going to observe that, because there's a lot of learning to be done from that in terms of disruptions.
Mm-hmm. I suppose, on the other hand, you could get a counter drag, which is that there are a lot of people who live on the shore, whatever, up in New York, they're not going to be able to afford it because they got a home to start as well.
They're still repairing. Yeah.
And actually, Ocean City, over the past couple of years, has really expanded their marketing into New York and New Jersey anyway, regardless of this situation here. So we, if anecdotally, if you drive around Ocean City in the summer, you'll see a lot of New York and New Jersey license plates
already.
Yeah. So, but it could turn that way, where they're simply just overwhelmed with, their damages or, insurance or what have you, and they're not even going to take a vacation this year. So, but if they do choose Ocean City, we certainly want to, give them something wonderful to experience, as well as the whole county.
Now, we've obviously been focusing on Ocean City, but Worcester County, as everybody knows, is more than just simply Ocean City. You have Berlin, you have Pocomoke City, which is trying to develop its own tourism attractions. I want to turn to you first, Lisa, and tell me a little bit about the efforts to try to develop that tourism away from the beach, whether it's Berlin or what's Snow Hill, what kinds of things are people doing to try to bring those tourists in?
Well, at one point, Ocean City did a survey of what they were strong in and what their weaknesses were, and one of them was determined through this survey that there were no or not enough unique shopping experiences. So we really did try to set out from the get-go in making Berlin that unique shopping destination and really marketing it as a unique shopping historic district. You know, one of the slogans they just said is, it's not just for old people. And they've been very, very successful. And we do utilize that huge population in the summer in Ocean City and try to get them to take these day trips. And Berlin is just so close and really offers a lot for visitors of all ages. And they've been very, very successful. And they've got their arts and entertainment district, their Main Street community, Snow Hill as well as an arts and entertainment district. So really trying to build on the art galleries and the walking tours and the architecture. And then the Pocomoke River, which people are just astounded when they visit the Pocomoke River and think that they're only a half an hour from Ocean City. And it is just so isolated and wild and pristine. And the wildlife is, it's beautiful. And then, as you said, Pocomoke, we're really trying to develop a lot of the attractions down there, including the Discovery Center. They got a new restaurant, several museums, the beautiful Art Deco Marva Theater, and it's working. And we do, because Pocomoke is so close to Chincoteague, we also advertise in the Chincoteague market.
Because we have a number of times we've been talking about advertising. You know, we've been talking about reaching out from Ocean City to New York, for example. And here you're talking about trying to advertise some kind of day trips that they go from mm-hmm. Ocean City. How significant is that advertising dollar? And has it, I mean, have we here on the shore utilized as well as perhaps we should have?
I'm not sure I'm following you. You know, we do see a direct result from advertising, mm-hmm. and we have over the years increased the county's advertising budget. We do go through our visitors' guides much faster than we ever used to. And we always, you know, we always feature the Assateague horses, the wild horses on our guides, and they are huge sellers. They are the attraction at Assateague. And I do think that there is, and you know, we are doing a lot more with social media as well, and a lot of that doesn't cost anything.
So, by the way, I know it was the Maryland Department of Tourism that they said something like in 2012 or whatever, they had like 1.5 million unique web visitors on their website. Mm-hmm. That was up, I guess, by about 11% from 2011. Mm-hmm. And total traffic, I'm not sure exactly how all of the, I assume all the websites, something up like neighborhood of like 54%, I guess, with online advertising. I guess it did 15.5. Mm-hmm. How significant is the online advertising? Do you think you're getting more bang for the buck out of that?
We do. It's to us, it's very significant. We've had a lot of success in the D.C. market with that. We can look at our analytics from our web traffic to see where those kinds of hits are coming from, and it's a direct result of some of the online advertising that we're doing. So you can really track that. You know, hopefully that's converting to people coming to visit. But, you know, again, the numbers that you were stating earlier, mm-hmm. they're increasing each year.
Meanwhile, I want to turn, by the way, to the Delmarva Discovery Center down in Pocomoke. I think I saw a report that you did, and tell, give us a little background first of all about this entity, and how do you see it attracting tourists to Pocomoke? Because you know when I drive around, I mean from my point of view, Pocomoke seems actually like a very long ways away. It doesn't, even though it probably isn't, but it seems rather isolated. Although it's obviously near, as you say, Chincoteague. There's the Wallops Island NASA facility and so on. What? Tell me a little bit about the center and how you see it trying to attract visitors to Pocomoke.
Well, the Delmarva Discovery Center is nothing short of a miracle. It is really the fruit of the vision of the people of Pocomoke City. They saw an abandoned building by the river, and it's the first thing the visitor would see crossing the bridge coming into town. And they decided to do something about it. They got together, and many years and a lot of hard work later, they created a magnificent entity there that not only makes Pocomoke proud, but makes all of us proud who understand the Pocomoke River. It is all about the Pocomoke River. It is the history of the Pocomoke River, the ecology of the Pocomoke River, and it is very much addressing a need in the tourism marketplace, experiential tourism. It enables people to touch, feel, see, hear what life was and is like throughout the Pocomoke River basin. In addition, it's an educational gem. It not only services the out-of-area visitors, but local visitors as well, people coming from school systems, people coming from just surrounding areas. If they have visitors visiting them, say, in Salisbury, it's a nice, quick trip to do. And then with the new restaurant, you can go there in the morning, have a nice lunch, and that's one morning done for your visitor that you can take them. But the biggest thing is that trend, that experiential tourism trend. That is why it attracts. For somebody driving three and a half hours to come to the shore, another 30 minutes to do a half a day trip is nothing. It is actually part of the attraction, especially if that day happens to be a cloudy day or something like that. It's an alternative. The key is all tourism attractions on the shore to know about each other and bundle their experiences and cross promote, because it's not taking something away from you, it's making it a whole experience for the visitor. It's truly a 2+2=5 type synergy thing. That is the next challenge, those bundled experiences. Advertising is great, social media is great, but there is going to come a time where that information is too much information, and the visitor is going to look for prepackaged, bundled days for them when they come.
And that is happening down there, probably to the most extent in Pocomoke. They are bundling the river cruise with the museum tour and a lunch. And if you buy lunch, you take your receipt to the museum and they give you a discount and vice versa. And they're really working together to, they're working, reaching out to the state park at Pocomoke River State Park to their visitors and packaging and cross-promoting their attractions in Pocomoke.
Yeah, and then tying that into the accommodations. So if somebody is booking their accommodations, we have, you know, certain websites that allow you to book the accommodations, and then you can add on a day here, a day there, and then hopefully get to the point where we're putting, bundling all that packaging together as well. And it seems to work very well. And like Memo said, you know, making sure that we're all working together and educating our visitor on all the things that there are to do in the area.
What, how did Pocomoke make this happen? Because, I mean, it was part, as I understand, part really of sort of a revitalization effort. It wasn't just that they wanted to have a destination, but there was a whole effort to revitalize. And I know there are a number of cities and towns around the peninsula that struggle with trying to revitalize downtowns and that kind of thing. What do you think was the magic ingredient to make this particular thing successful?
Fortunately, I have pretty much the entire history available to this after 24 years of being here. It really came together at the upstairs conference room of a local bank when the city leaders, public sector, nonprofit sector, and government sector came together and said, we need to do something. And the first step was for a small grant application to study the situation. And over the years, over grants and studies and fundraising from the community, extreme fundraising from the community, they were able to take their vision and slowly progress it. And over time, addressing the needs and wants of the marketplace, change it a little bit to what it is today. The original idea, one of the original ideas, was to make a shopping arcade there. Another original idea was to do the restaurant in the building rather than right next to the river. But over time, marketplace reality and the willingness of the community to adapt to that marketplace reality and their phenomenal fundraising effort came together to make that happen.
And it was at a time when the economy was better, before the downturn, and the county and the city were extremely supportive with funding and all kinds of support. And I think money was just a little bit easier to come by then. So our timing was, even though it took us years and years, our timing was still pretty good, and that's not to say we still get support from the county and the city.
Sure, because I mean, do you think this was an issue of of just serious political leadership?
It was more than that. It was political leadership. It was community leadership. It was everybody in the community doing their 2 cents worth. It was an amazing example of a community and the supporters of that community outside that community coming together. The universities were involved. Pretty much everybody who had to be involved did get involved, and it was harmonious. It was not acrimonious at all. Sometimes these things have a way of going in several different directions. This was not the case. If we could package this and sell it, great, this process.
What about the town of Salisbury in terms of being an attraction? I mean, and everybody knows there's been some problems in trying to revitalize, for instance, downtown and making it attractive. What's your assessment there in terms of how we fit into this tour?
Salisbury's visitor profile is very different. Salisbury's visitor profile is a functional visitor. They come here for something else, not for Salisbury, not for Salisbury's attractions. Not that we don't have those, but those are secondary to the original reason for coming here. Where we are right now, the campus of Salisbury University, is one of the greatest attractions. PRMC, the hospital, people come in for medical tests, medical procedures, visiting patients. People come here for the educational opportunities, visiting their children who are studying here. There are certain events that are happening at the Civic Center, such as the Poodle Show, et cetera. So this is not a destination per se for a vacation, but it is a functional visit. There are business people who come here. This is the financial, legal, government center off the shore. Furthermore, Salisbury serves a very important hub function for the entire region's tourism industry, because a lot of the support businesses that support tourism in Ocean City, in Chincoteague, throughout Worcester, Wicomico, Somerset counties, even Dorchester County, reaching out to the Cambridge Hyatt there. Those businesses are year-round headquartered here. Imagine how many roofs have to be replaced in Ocean City. Imagine how many rooms have to be painted, carpets have to be replaced, how many menus have to be printed. Many of those businesses that support the tourism enterprise operate year-round from Salisbury and reach out.
Finally, I want to turn to, just briefly in the few minutes we have left, to Crisfield, which obviously has been hit by the storm, of course, but it has struggled to become real revitalization, as it were. I mean, it lost a lot of its industry. I don't know whether it attracts as many tourists, I guess, as one would expect. What's your assessment of where Crisfield
is? Going through an inflection point in its life cycle curve. Until recently, the leadership, both at the public, private, and nonprofit sectors, was still looking for ways to bring back what was. And in today's reality, that's not going to happen. So now they, and that what was not a tourism-based presence. Right. It was more of a manufacturing-based presence. That just is not going to happen. But what they have, and which is very, very valuable, is that waterfront, is that water, that marina. So now the city leaders are coming around to the idea that, in fact, they had just before the recession hit. It just has slowed down, taken a little breather during the recession. But they realize their main attraction, their main asset is that water and that waterfront. Now that that decision has been made, the future is very bright for Crisfield. Before, when they were trying to bring back that manufacturing or that agricultural industry, or water-based, aquaculture-based industry. It just was an uphill battle. Now, as soon as the economy picks up a little bit more, the more adventure-seeking visitors are going to either make day trips from their Ocean City or other place visits, maybe go on a bay tour or something, or go to Smith Island, they're going to actually start staying there. Some of the condos there are available for rental. The next step is discussions about a hotel on the waterfront. So that is the future for Crisfield, and it's bright, but it's going to take a little time.
You think that now this decision made that we might see something really develop there that had not been there? Because I know they talked about a ferry at one time that seemed to now disappear, but they now you really think that they've got a handle on where they need to go.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, an emerging location attracts a different type of clientele, the more adventure-seeking clientele. People who have boats that they might want to keep their boats there for a while. That's a beautiful big marina there, Summers Cove Marina. The islands, Smith Island, Tangier, these are tremendous attractions. They just have to be marketed.
We've been speaking with Lisa Challenger. She's the Worcester County Tourism Director. Also, Melanie Purcell. She's the Executive Director of the Ocean City Chamber of Commerce. And also, Memo Derricker. He is with the Business Economic and Community Outreach Network on the campus of Salisbury University. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit pac14.org.